Residents and religious on Rome's Aventine Hill are putting the final touches to preparations for Pope Benedict's pilgrimage across the Tiber River Wednesday. Pope Benedict will officially begin the Lenten period with a traditional Ash Wednesday procession and Mass in the afternoon. The Pope is expected to go to the Church of Sant'Anselmo, or St. Anselm, where he will join the Benedictine friars and other religious for a moment of prayer. Afterwards, the Holy Father and his entourage of cardinals and bishops will make their way just down the street to the Basilica of St. Sabina to celebrate the liturgy and for the blessing and imposition of ashes on the faithful. Well, the Basilica of Santa Sabina, as it's known here, is nestled amidst orange groves and gardens hidden behind old stone walls. It is one of the oldest churches in Rome, dating as far back as about the year 422. Santa Sabina became one of the so-called station churches where Rome's early Christian community would gather for processions and liturgies in Lent and other periods holy to the Christian calendar. Sant'Anselmo, just down the street, was, and in this case still is, a collect church where the faithful would assemble before proceeding to the station church of Santa Sabina. The Priory of the Dominican Order is attached to Santa Sabina, and all the friars and religious there are getting ready for the Holy Father's arrival. I asked the Order's Procurator General, Father Robert Ombres, how he remembers the last few Ash Wednesday papal liturgies.
Well, the first year I was here, I think Pope John Paul was unwell, so he couldn't come. So my memories are of Pope Benedict, his visits, and I would say it's a time when you really come to understand that, among other things, the Pope is the Bishop of Rome, and so he takes care and interest in being in churches in his diocese.
And this is one of the oldest churches in Rome, isn't it? And it's quite austere. It's not, you know, incredibly ornate or decorated. So it must be quite, thought-provoking to be in this church at this time with the Pope, the leader of the Universal Church, and the Bishop of Rome.
Yes, I think you're right. I think for many people, among the different churches in Rome, Santa Sabina could well be their favourite. And if you ask why, they usually say something like, it's simple, it's austere, it's full of light, a play of light on marble. There are Baroque side chapels, but so much of Rome is Baroque, so much of southern Italy, that I think after a while perhaps the eyes need rest from detail and colour, and I think they find the play of light, the volume, the shape of the church, prayerful in itself, or an invitation to prayer. And when the Pope comes, then of course we're taken back. Well, this church has been here over 1,500 years, and so people have been going to Mass, praying in our church, 1,500 years, and of course the papacy has been in Rome longer, and that is a way of just seeing the antiquity, if you like, going back to the origins, in such an ancient basilica with such an ancient office as that of the Pope.
Who was Saint Sabina, and is she? I know she's buried here, and also, of course, this church is extremely important for the Dominican Order. Tell me how, how do you see these two figures also related to this great moment, this great tradition of the Pope coming here?
The Pope tends to have red shoes or red slippers, which is traditionally thought to be connected to martyrdom. It's one of the symbolisms of his office. And Santa Sabina was an early martyr here in Rome. She was a wealthy woman, a pagan, and she had a slave woman, I think from Syria, who became a Christian and it's thought converted her mistress, Sabina. And they came under suspicion, they were interrogated and warned, and this slave was executed first. Sabina, perhaps because she was powerful, she was rich, was given warnings, but she persisted in being a Christian. So she was martyred. And a cult grew up here on the Aventine to her. And then in the 5th century, more or less when the station masses started, in the 5th century, a priest from Illyria, what we would now call Croatia, I suppose, built Santa Sabina. This is why the square outside San Sabino is called Piazza Pietro di Liria, because the priest who paid for the church, and there's a mosaic inside saying how he built it, paid for it. So the cult Sabina was strengthened by building this basilica, and I imagine the link with the papacy is partly, as I said, because of the antiquity, the age of both institutions, the papacy and Santa Sabina, although obviously the papacy came first. But I imagine it's to do with martyrdom and witnessing. And of course, St. Peter's is built over the tomb of St. Peter, and there are the two apostles, Peter and Paul, martyred in Rome. And I think so the martyrdom would be the key linking the witnessing of the papacy and the witness of this particular Christian woman.
And how did the Dominicans come to Santa Sabina?
Well, when St. Dominic, in the 13th century, early in the 13th century, was looking for a site for his friars and the church in Rome, he asked the Pope whether he could have a church with space to build a priory, and the Pope gave us Santa Sabina, which had been a basilica, of course, already for 700 years, when we came 800 years ago, and gradually we built a priory, which we're now sitting in, little by little, since the early 13th century. And the priests who served the church, the basilica, eventually left, and we have both the church and the priory.
And was St. Dominic buried here as well?
No, St. Dominic was on the move all his life, as all good friars should be, and he died and is buried in Bologna, in our church at Bologna. But he lived here, and we know the room he had, and it's now turned into a little chapel. But we know where he lived, in Santa Sabina.
Now, every Ash Wednesday, Pope Benedict started this practice up. Pope John Paul, I think in the last few years of his life, he wasn't able, perhaps, to do this. He goes on a procession from the Collect Church of Sant'Anselmo, just down the road here on the Aventine Hill, and then they proceed up here to Santa Sabina. Tell us a little bit more about what are Collect Churches and Station Churches.
Yes, as far as we know, he's due to come. We hope he's pleased to come. We're certainly pleased as well as honoured to receive him to begin our Lent. The practice you mentioned is very ancient in Rome. It probably dates from about the time, or possibly even before, Santa Sabina was built as a church. So we're talking about 1,500 years ago. And on various days of the year, and eventually in Lent, the practice grew up of station days or station masses. Now, station, from the Latin statio, means a stop, rather like a railway station. That means where the train stops. So a station church is where the procession ends and where the liturgy is then celebrated. Because processions are so important in Christian life, the custom grew up of having a procession from somewhere to the station church for the station mass, including Ash Wednesday. And so people gathered, hence collecta, people collected, gathered in one church. Here on the Aventine, in the Middle Ages, it was St. Anastasia, and as you say, it's now become Sant'Anselmo, the Benedictine house. And we now process. The Pope arrives at Sant'Anselmo, the brief prayers, and then we process the Benedictine monks on one side and the Dominican friars on the other, with the cardinals, bishops, the Pope at the rear. And we come to Santa Sabina. And I think processions matter because they're both a public witness, reminding people, martyrdom means witness. So yet again, the theme of witnessing to God, to Christ in public, symbolized in the procession. And it also has a penitential element, which fits in well with Ash Wednesday. And of course, a procession is a mini pilgrimage, which is another marvelous Christian experience to participate in.
No, we said there were about 40 station churches. I imagine then there were about 40 collect churches. And it's a tradition that dates back from the very earliest times of Christianity. Is that right, here in Rome?
Yes, yes. The days have varied. The churches have varied. I think that the tradition of a custom is well attested.
But so they would have gone during the 40 days of Lent to each one of these churches, is that right?
Either the Pope or someone representing him, I think, would have participated in each station church for the station mass, and the faithful from that church or area would have gathered. Of course, especially in Italy, people are very loyal to their locality, and so it would have, each little community in Rome would have taken great pride in being involved so directly with liturgy of the Pope outside the Lateran, which is the Pope's cathedral, or St. Peter's.
But everything you're saying is in the past tense. It's a shame that this tradition hasn't continued, though.
Yes, it has continued in some ways, but perhaps not as strongly as it might. Pope John Paul II, we all remember how much he cared for processions, pilgrimages, public gatherings of Christians. And I think perhaps after some uncertainties in the past, the desire to be more anonymous as Christians, to blend in more with all our neighbours, perhaps gradually a theme of witnessing in charity, discreetly, without arrogance, I think might come back.
Father Robert Ombres is the Procurator General of the Dominican Order.
Yeah.